Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Body, Soul, and Spirit podcast. I want to dive in and talk about meditation today. And it's something that oftentimes we don't ponder what we really are thinking about. We don't think about what we're thinking about. We don't understand the word meditation, but we see it throughout scripture. And we're actually told in scripture to watch our meditation, to guard it. And so I want to dive in because our meditation is so key to emotional health, to mental health, to really understand what is really going on as far as thoughts are concerned, why we think them, and it can actually lead us to our own demise. So what is meditation? Now, the scriptures talk about meditation, and we find that in Psalm 19:14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." It says, "Let the meditation of my heart," meditation of my heart. Think about that for a moment. I mean, does the heart really meditate? What is meditation? Meditation, and maybe you've heard the word spoken in psychology where you could do meditation exercises. But if we were to define it, meditation is really defined as thought, to ponder, to consider, engage in mental exercises. Concentration, it's really transitive verb. It is an action. Something that we ponder upon. And we're told in Philippians 4:8, Paul tells us what to really ponder upon, what to think about. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, then think about these things." You are to ponder about such things. Proverbs 23:7 tells us, "As a man thinks in his heart," there it is again, "so he is." And oftentimes, we can actually begin to meditate on things that are not true, that are not lovely or acceptable. They are not very truthful or pure or noble or admirable. And it leads us to really catch thoughts that are incongruent to leading us into a healthy self. Our meditation can actually lead us to sadness, to loneliness, to anxiousness. When you really think about your meditation, it's the things that you're pondering. It's the things that you think about. It's that playback of a memory. It's the things that you are considering in thought. It's what you're thinking about. It's what you are mentally exercising on. In other words, it's a verb. You think about it, kind of like playing a song and you put it on repeat. Those are our meditations. Meditation is important to look at because sometimes without us realizing it, oftentimes we can actually be meditating on the wrong thing, which in turn is leading us to things that we maybe don't want to be led into. Now, when you think about your meditation, the things that you are pondering, the things that you're thinking about, right? The things that we ponder throughout the day, and we all have fallen prey to the wrong meditations, to things that we're meditating on, like a memory of the past, or maybe a mistake that you made, or maybe something's magnified in your life, maybe a failure that you have had, and you just meditate on it, and it's just a playback, and you keep hitting the play button and rewind button, and that's meditation. You keep thinking on it and thinking on it and thinking on it, and it's highlighted for you. And oftentimes it goes unchecked, or we don't really think about what our meditation really looks like. So I want to take this time for us to become very conscious and aware of what our meditation has been lately. When your meditation begins with self, it will always end and begin in two places. Whenever you think about your meditation, maybe it was on a mistake that you made, right? And then now it just playing back in your mind. And that's what you meditate on. You're thinking about that mistake. You're thinking about what they said. You're thinking about what happened. You're thinking the what if. Well, whenever it starts with ourselves, it will end in two places. Number one, in scarcity, or in shame. Oftentimes we spend a lot of time just listening to ourselves, and we don't find enough time to talk to ourselves. Now, there's a guy, a king in the Bible by the name of David, King David, and he really taught us about meditation. He's the guy that wrote the book of Psalms. And he would say, "Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." And what was he saying to himself? He's saying, "God, I want to include you in my meditation," because he didn't always get it right. When our meditation begins with ourselves, it'll begin and end with scarcity. Scarcity is really a shortage. You'll always start thinking in terms of, "I don't have enough." Have you ever noticed when your meditation is focused on you, we have a tendency to go on a journey now where all we see is the scarcity, the shortage, what we don't have, what we don't have enough of, where we fall short, how we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we don't have, we have a lack, we fail too much. Instead of looking at the mercy of God, the strength of God, it will always start with scarcity whenever our meditation begins with us. When it ends and it starts with us, this meditation, it'll end and begin in shortage. We beat ourselves harshly because in the end, all we see is what we don't have, rather than looking at what we do have. Instead of seeing, "Yes, I'm weak, but he is strong." When our meditation is on self, just yourself, and we've all fallen prey to that, what somebody did to us or said to us or how they treated us or what they didn't do or what we failed to do or what we haven't done, what we haven't attained, when it starts with us and all we see where we're at, the condition where we find ourselves, instead, it's going to end up leading us to scarcity. Notice how now all you see is what you don't have as opposed to what you do have. Well, David was a perfect example because he shows us, he says, "Lord, let the meditation of my heart, let it be pleasing unto you. Let it be gratifying unto you." And he taught us how. He not only saw his shortage, he not only saw his shortcomings, but then he would talk to God and he would invite God into that place. And he would say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, I eat my tears throughout the day. You see all my enemies surrounding me." And he would talk to God, but then he would also talk to himself. And then he would say to himself, "But blessed be the name of the Lord." In other words, he spoke to himself. He didn't just sit there and just wail and cry and look at all of his shortages. He began to actually talk to himself. So one way we can really watch that meditation is by talking to ourselves, you know, and managing that meditation is going to be key and important, that we begin to manage it in a way that we are anticipating, right? That whatever God is going to do, even if we don't know what it is, that is faith. So we manage the meditation. You know, you don't have to sit there necessarily and listen to yourself. David gave us great examples throughout the Psalms. He would begin with himself. He would understand his shortages and his weaknesses and his shortcomings. But he didn't end there. He would begin to talk to himself. And that's one way to manage your meditation. You manage it in a way where you are even anticipating, right? That's faith. You are anticipating that whatever God is going to do, even if you don't know what it is, you're going to remain faithful and you are going to be remaining in faith, that you're going to believe him regardless. And that's what David would do. He would talk to himself, and then he would turn around and he would say, speak about God's goodness. He would revert back to the faithfulness of God. So that's important to do also. Now, when you look at scriptures, this is really important to understand, because we see that meditation, if we're not conscious of it, if we're not aware of it, if we're not managing it correctly, then it could become our own demise. Now we see that, and it's found in scripture in John chapter 8, verses 40 to 44. And here's this image of how the enemy and Satan is a murderer from the beginning. Jesus begins to talk about how he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. He started as an angel. And that when you look at really this conversation that Jesus is having about, you know, the enemy, it's interesting because you see how he's explained in a way where he was an angel, but he started to have conversations with himself. It says there in the Bible that he said within himself. Now that's his own meditation, because he's saying within himself. It's what he pondered. It's what he thought about. Meditation is really the conversations that you're having with yourself. And that's why it's not very trustworthy when you have conversations with yourself. Because when you look at that example, whether you believe in this enemy, you know, this force called Satan, whether you believe it or not, it's a great example, because when you look at the conversations that he would have with himself, right, it says that he said to himself, and look at what he said to himself. Scripture tells us that he would say, I will do this. And it led him to really think that he was bigger than God, wanted to be greater than God. He was a murderer. He lied because he kept having these conversations to himself. In other words, this is what he really believed about himself. And he didn't bring it to God. He didn't redefine it. He didn't say, wait, I'm an angel, right? He just had these conversations with himself. That's why you can't trust conversations with yourself. That's dangerous. Why? Because some of those conversations that we're having with ourselves, that meditation, what we ponder upon, is really not true. It's really not healthy. It's really the meditation of our heart. The condition of our heart is not healthy. So we start to have these conversations with ourselves, but that doesn't mean that it's true. So when you look back at this enemy, it says he said within himself, I will do this. And that meditation became his greatest demise. So we've got to manage our meditation. Think about what we're thinking about. One way to do that is to actually not have conversations with yourselves and just listen to yourself, but rather begin to talk to yourself. It says, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good cheer. Think about those things. So meditation is really important, because it's a driving force in our life. It's actually leading us to either more error, or it's going to lead us in a direction where we're going to get sick in our thoughts. We're going to get sick because we actually catch thoughts based on our meditation. Now, every thought is leading us somewhere. Every thought leads us somewhere. The meditation that we're just constantly replaying in our mind, right? That meditation begins to lead us to certain thoughts, certain patterns of thinking, certain beliefs system. Just Just because I meditate on it doesn't mean it's necessarily true. It says, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good cheer, think about those things. Every thought, even my meditation, is leading me somewhere. Before there was division, there was a thought. Before you were offended, there was a thought. Before there's rebellion or even pride, there's a thought. That's why humility is so key in our lives. Because Ephesians 5:19 tells us that meditation is inside the heart. So looking at the heart is very important when it comes to our meditation. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the human heart is the most deceptive things of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? So when the heart has become very hardened, let the meditation of my heart, let's talk about the heart. If the heart has become hardened, it will always attract deception. Deception comes from a hardened heart. So when you look at your meditation, it's really not something that you can count on. It's not necessarily trustworthy. I wonder the condition of Lucifer's heart at the time when he was an angel, when he said, I will do this. I will be bigger than God. And he had this conversation with himself. He was pondering it. He was meditating on it. See, a hard heart draws us to deception. So it's important in order to not fall into those deceptions and those lies. One, I've got to understand what my meditation looks like. Be aware of it. What am I really meditating on it? What meditating on? What do I replay in my mind? And then understand that perhaps it's the condition of my heart that is leading me to some of those meditations. Now, so I've got to look at my heart. No wonder David, the example I just gave you, King David at the beginning of this podcast, King David was constantly telling God, purify my heart, God. Because he understood that his heart needed to be tender in order to meditate correctly. So if we're going to talk about meditation, we must look at the condition of our hearts too. God, purify my heart. Take away this hard-heartedness, wherever it came from. I didn't keep it tender. So when our heart fails, faith is going to fail. Our meditation is going to fail and work against us. We're going to be listening to ourselves as opposed to talking to ourselves. We're going to stay in these bitter conditions, angry conditions. We're not going to love others, love ourselves, let alone love God. So it's important to look at the heart because it says, let the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Think about that. Humility is really important because humility is an issue of the heart, but so is pride. Let's take back this Lucifer. Pride was his demise. He had pride in his heart. So if we're going to be humble, right, then we need to put our hearts in God's hands, who's the only one that could help us change the heart. There is no human being. There is no external factor that can change the condition of your heart. The only one that can help us heal the heart correctly is God. Outside of God, there's no other alternative. Only God can take our ashes and put them into beauty. He can take what's corrupted and make it a pure heart. He can take what's been hardened and give us a new heart. He promised it. He said, I will create in you a new heart. Well, I'm not talking about the physical heart. I'm talking about the condition of your soul. Humility and humble heart brings a man to the point where they have contact now with God. It takes humility to keep us very sober-minded and to think with right thoughts, this sense of meditation that leads us to truth, that leads us to something good. So where does it begin? Let me summarize. Number one, I must be aware of my meditation. And not only that, but I must manage it correctly. And then I need to look at the condition of my heart, because it says, let the meditation of my heart. What's the condition of our hearts? What has it been lately? Look at your meditation and then start there without being cruel to yourself or being angry at yourself, but really checking the condition of your heart and then really allowing God to come into that place in your heart and telling God, look, God, I humble myself before you. The condition of my heart is such. I'm not going to listen to myself, but I'm going to speak to myself because I want this meditation of my heart to be pleasing to you.